This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hello, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you, as always, by the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Nick Berlansky, and as always, I am joined by Nick Horwat here on this Monday morning, and a victory Monday morning, if you're a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. Horwat, it's been a while since we've had an episode where we get to just talk about Penguins victories. How excited are you to talk about some W's instead of just talking about some losses?
Hey, they're not even just wins, man. They are dominant wins. Tristan Jarry just made another save. much different than what he was doing last episode, which was just letting in another one. My God, this was a fun little weekend. Mm-hmm. I guess it started on a Thursday, but you know what? We went to Point Park. The weekend started on Thursdays.
Damn right.
It was a fun little weekend for Pens fans. Not so much Steeler fans, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't have it all if you're a Pittsburgh sports fan. I mean, we used to, but we can't have it all anymore, I guess is the best way to put it.
When did we ever have it all? The Pirates have always sucked.
Well, have it all in terms of the Penguins and the Steelers. We've never had it really. I mean, at least in our lifetime, we've never had it with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, the best we get is 2013.
That's looking like a farce every day.
I'm not, don't do that to me. That's the only. I mean, I'm holding on to hope for the future of the Pirates, but.
Hey, so am I for once, finally. It's good, but for now, Steelers bad. Penguins good again.
That's nice.
Yes, that's what we're here for, to discuss them beating down the bad, the very, very bad Montreal Canadiens. And it's not just that they're bad. They've been hit with some bad luck in terms of not having star players, so you feel bad for them. And that was a game that we should have won like that.
Yes.
So, cool, we got that one out of the way, and it was a good confidence builder, really. Mm-hmm. Team looked good. Six goals is always fun. And then we go into Toronto. Not only is it going into Toronto, it's going into Toronto on Saturday on Hockey Night in Canada as one of the hottest teams in the league. Mm-hmm. And hey, a shutout.
Yeah. Again, back-to-back shutouts for Tristan Jarry. And we'll get into that a little bit later in a couple minutes, but you mentioned 6-0 win against the Montreal Canadiens. You do exactly what you're supposed to against that team, which is something that, if you're the Penguins, that's a good sign. Not only getting the 2 points, but a blowout victory. I mean, it's been a while since we've seen a blowout victory. It's nice to get one where it's needed, and it's nice to get one on the road. Sidney Crosby gets his first goal. He opened up the scoring, and more importantly, not just the fact that they scored, because the first line also potted in another goal later in that game with Jake Guentzel's tally, but the first line is starting to look like they looked last season when all three of them were up over 20 goals and around the same point when it comes to goals, and they were all putting up really good numbers in the assist column as well. So it's nice to see that first line start to click on all cylinders like it did last season.
Yeah, it was just going to take a little time. I think we knew that. I mean, going into the few games before, you don't want to lose to the very bad Blackhawks. You don't want to lose to, you don't want to lose that bad to the Ottawa Senators. And then you would like to beat Buffalo, but again, this is a team that's trying to get itself back to full health, and it takes a couple of games, I guess.
I like how you just left out the Capitals beating that we took.
I couldn't find it. I'd
like to forget it too, so that's fine.
I knew I was missing one. It's a little further over on my screen over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I would like to forget that game too. But luckily, that is in the rearview mirror right now, the Pittsburgh Penguins. What have you done for me lately? And lately includes that 6-0 drubbing of the Montreal Canadiens. Also in that game, Teddy Bluger scores 2 goals. Brock McGinn pots another one in that fourth line, combines for 3 tallies in a game where, you know what? It's nice to see some secondary scoring. We had it at the beginning of the season. It kind of faded away a little bit there whenever the Penguins were starting to struggle. And now getting that back is a huge portion of why this team had success over the weekend. So nice to see Teddy Bluger get a couple. Nice to see Brock McGinn back on the score sheet. And realistically, nice to see all 4 lines contributing in that game.
To that's exactly what you want to see always. I think for a team that needed it, it was good that it was a blowout too. I mean, we're not worried. That's kind of the kind of game where you're not worried about running up the score. You know,
that's true.
We need to just kick the heels up a little and actually do something. So I had no complaints about it reaching six. If it had to go to 7-0, go for it. It was just one of those games that, hey, everyone needed to, you know, get off their ass and do something, and they finally did it.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Canadiens are bad. Yeah, they don't have their captain or their future Hall of Fame goaltender. But who they had in to start, Primo?
Yeah, Caden Primo.
He's supposed to be good, is he not?
Yeah, but he's young. I mean, young goaltenders, we know how that works out, obviously.
Yeah, he's young and still has time to grow in, but I guess here's a quick welcome to the NHL lesson. I don't know how long he's been playing for, but...
I think he spot started a couple times.
Well, hey, welcome to the league, kid. Here's the mighty Penguins. Angry, upset, coming off of a game against Buffalo where they didn't look totally awful, at least in the second half. I mean...
Especially the third period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a very unhappy... unruly Penguins offense. Yeah, you had it coming. And I mean, granted, it was a game without Mike Sullivan, but still, he was able to join them for the Hockey Night in Canada game in Toronto, and things looked just as good there, except with a much better goalie in net.
Yeah, honestly, the Toronto game could have ended up exactly like the Montreal game if not for Jack Campbell. I mean, I don't think enough people have talked about the fact that he has been really good for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And again, that is the reason that this game was not a blowout like Thursday night's game. But if you're looking from the Pittsburgh Penguins side of things on Saturday night, you have to be, once again, very happy with what you saw. You only won the game 2-0. But listen, a 2-0 win against that team, Toronto came in on a 5-game winning streak. They went out and they beat the Islanders on Sunday afternoon. So this is a really good Toronto team, and the Penguins right now are 2-0 against them on the season. That's not a bad feather to have in your cap right now. You have Jake Guentzel opening up the scoring. It seemed like he had scored a lot, and then I went back and looked at it, and he's currently on a 4-game goal streak. Sorry, don't need to put the cart before the horse. Hopefully he scores tonight against Winnipeg, but a 4-game goal streak for him. In two of those games, the Penguins only scored one goal. So,
yeah,
he's definitely right now leading the Penguins' charge offensively. His 7th goal on the season, and his numbers with 7 goals and 14 points are starting to look like what we expected at the outset of the season.
It's exactly what we were expecting and exactly what we wanted. It took him a little time, but I think that just fits the Penguins' mold of being the slow starters.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that his slow start happened to coincide with Crosby and Malkin being out, and so it looked a little worse, but luckily enough we had other cover for a couple games, and then as people started getting back, I think it was just the inconsistencies that piled up for us that we didn't have chemistry going. Let's just try and look for excuses, I guess.
It is difficult.
It is, but now we pop in, you know, we pop in 6 against a bad team, much needed. Guentzel's That would have been his 3rd game in a row, because he's on 4 now. Yeah, that would have been his 3rd game in a row. Crosby finally gets involved, and that line looks good. That line looks like it's doing something the way it should be. Then you pop over to Saturday night, where Jake Guentzel scoring again, opening the scoring on a butterfly of a shot, really. But not much you can do about it. Goal's a goal. It counts. It was in, and... we scored the 2nd one in the first, too, right?
Yeah, Jeff Carter's goal was also in the first period, and then it was just complete and utter shutdown by both goaltenders.
It was, especially going into the closing of the game. That 5-on-3 that we were able to kill off.
Yep.
Against that team?
Yeah.
I saw 5-on-3. I thought, man, this is not ball game, but, I mean, how disappointing are the Leafs this year? Because not anymore, are they?
No. They haven't been... in a long time, actually. Their stars have been starting to come around, and their support players have also started to find the back of the net. I know Andrei Kasha is starting to really find a home in that bottom six in Toronto, but the Pittsburgh Penguins, ever since the third period of that Buffalo game last Tuesday, have played extremely, extremely good hockey. And that's exactly what, I mean, DK asked Sidney Crosby, said, is this the way that you guys need to play? And he said, yes, we need to be tough on the forecheck. We need to be tough on all four lines, and we need contributions from everyone. We can't do it just one guy anymore. And that's sentiments that we've echoed. That's sentiments that a lot of Pittsburgh voices have echoed. I mean, Hunter Hodes, Zach Smith are on around the 412. Everybody has echoed the fact that this team needs to score as a team now. We don't have the Connor McDavid right now. We don't have a Artemi Panarin. We don't have even Alex Ovechkin and what he's doing. He's leading that team, not to the level that anybody on Pittsburgh is right now. I mean, we do have Crosby, but he's at a point where he's saying, listen, we need to all be good in every facet of the game. And that right now is the only downside right now that I've seen from that first line is defensively, they're not all that great right now. Sidney Crosby's numbers, his underlying numbers, Jake Guentzel's underlying numbers, they're not fantastic, but that's something you can work on whenever you get to, I don't know, double digits on the season in games played for Sidney Crosby. He's still only played like five games. So you want that to come around eventually, but right now I'm not going to poo-poo on it because the results are still there.
No, and I appreciated that you were rolling through like players that are leading their teams. Like you said, Connor McDavid, he's not even leading his team in points, man.
Yeah, that's
Leon Draisaitl's also somehow being a monster this year.
Yeah.
Ovechkin's doing his thing. I thought of the name of Andrew Mangiapane because holy hell, that guy
15 goals
in 19 games, and guess what? He's not leading his team in points.
Who's leading that team in points right now, Monahan?
Here. Well, let me read this off to you. Andrew Mangiapane has 15 goals and 2 assists.
Okay, well.
Guy's got to learn to dish it a little. and then it goes Elias Lindholm with 8 and 12 for 20. Okay. Johnny Gaudreau with 8 and 14 for 22.
He has 8 goals.
Johnny Gaudreau has 8 goals.
He scored his first goal against the Penguins.
Nice.
He must and be on said, a tear then.
Yeah, and you said Monahan?
Yeah, that's just the first name that
there
came into my head.
2 and 7 for 9.
Okay, that's not great. So they're probably going to want him to do more. But I mean, the story of that team is the fact that Jacob Markstrom has 7 shutouts on the year. So
is it ever? They're winning big, though. Like, looking at these wins, they're winning multi-goal games. I think
they've
only won by a single goal once.
I believe they blew out the Islanders in the opening of UBS Arena.
Nice.
That game didn't look close whenever I checked in on it, because I watched the first little while of it.
5-2.
Yeah, and they were up 3-1 at the point that I stopped watching, and I was like, yeah, it's not looking good. And then I saw a score update for 4-1, and I was like, oh, God.
And then, oh my goodness. Oh no, that's wrong goalie. Where am I?
Yeah.
Oh, and then Dan Vladar picked up his own shutout.
Hey, gotta love Dan Vladar.
Against Boston.
Oh, man, that's great. That was yesterday.
Calgary is a fun team this year.
They're a wagon to start
Holy
the year.
Hell.
But, I guess we'll bring it back to Pittsburgh. But that was your around the league segment here at Tip of the
I just got lost in the
You got lost in the NHL sauce, that's all.
What is Andrew Mangiapane this year? That's all.
Exactly. In that game on Saturday, obviously, we mentioned Jeff Carter getting the insurance goal. Nice to see him back on the score sheet. He has 4 on the season, which it seems like he hasn't scored very much, but he has 4 goals. That's not awful. His underlying numbers are also kind of poopy. So that's all right, though. I mean, he's Jeff Carter. He's 36 years old. Just go out there and put up points. That's, I mean, we want him to obviously forecheck and stuff like that, but you look at who's on his line. They make up for it. I mean, you have Zucker, who is like a bloodhound, and you have Kapanen, who is obviously, you know, when he wants to be, one of the fastest players on the ice. So,
hey, man, it works. Jeff Carter's not doing bad. For 14 games, 8 points, you can't complain.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for a guy that's going to end up being your third line center, come on. The only other thing to mention in that Toronto game, obviously, is another shutout for Tristan Jarry. This time a 26-save shutout, so he's upping it each and every time. Let's talk about Tristan Jarry a little bit here before we cut to break. He has back-to-back shutouts. First 2 shutouts on the season this year for him. That brings him to within the top 10 in the NHL in both goals allowed average and save percentage currently. That's where we want him. Listen, that's where he was 2 years ago whenever he was an all-star. That's where you need Tristan Jarry to be. And he's playing the way we need him to play. Obviously, the shutouts are nice. We don't need the shutouts, but we need him to play in the way that he is in his positioning. We need him to play in the way that he is in his confidence. That's what we like to see from Tristan Jarry. Thursday's... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say Thursday's shutout for him passed him on Penguins history for fifth all-time in shutouts, passing Johan Hedberg. So that's another little stat. And then this one, which is something that we're going to continue to watch tonight when they take on the Winnipeg Jets, if he's in net. I'm not sure whether or not he's going to be in net. I don't see why not. But if he is in net, he has a chance to obviously extend this current shutout sequence, which is 149 minutes and 47 seconds without allowing a goal. That's 53 straight shots stopped, and he is 28 minutes shy of the Pittsburgh Penguins franchise record for shutout streaks, which was set
by himself.
By him in 2019-20 when he was an all-star.
That's,
so,
that's what I was going to mention before. So
yeah, okay.
You got it out of the way.
Yeah, sorry, I had this little list of tidbits on Tristan Jarry. But it's nice to see him coming around and getting out of that short funk that he was in, because let's be realistic here. He had a couple of bad games. He did. He had one really bad game in Washington where he was kind of hung out to dry regardless. The team wasn't that good. And then he had a bad game the game before that. So he had a small little setback, but overall he's been pretty consistently good this season.
Everyone's got those games, man.
Yes.
Especially as for goalies, everyone's got games that happen like that. Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Jacob Markstrom, apparently.
Yeah, I was going to say, unless you're Jacob Markstrom or Casey DeSmith, who just can't seem to collect anything this year.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, Casey DeSmith's had a bad go of it, and that's why I'm saying, you know, you look at the two teams you're playing next, and let's get into that also while we're talking about these guys. The two games you have next is Winnipeg tonight on Monday night. That's an 8:30 Eastern start if you're watching it in Pittsburgh or in the Eastern Seaboard, because Winnipeg's a little farther west, so an 8:30 start against the Winnipeg Jets, who are a good team this year. And then Wednesday, you have the Vancouver Canucks in your pre-Thanksgiving extravaganza that they seem to always have on home ice. And, you know, Vancouver's not had a good season so far. I mean, once again, disappointing. Looks good on paper. They've had a couple of good outings, but they're a little disappointing. I would, if I'm splitting these, which they might not even split them, but if I'm splitting these, I'm having Casey DeSmith go up against Vancouver.
Oh, okay. I like that. Yeah, I think you would have to.
You're feeding him to the Wolves if you play him against Winnipeg.
Yeah. In Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Despite attendance numbers being down across both countries and them, in Winnipeg especially. Mm-hmm. But I think there's government ruling there. Still. You throw DeSmith in against Winnipeg, a hot team like that, who are coming off two straight losses, but
yeah,
still, that's a good team. You don't want your goaltending matchup to be DeSmith against possible Olympian Connor Hellebuck.
Possible Olympian? He's future Olympian Connor Hellebuck. Yeah, so it would obviously be a mismatch, but more importantly, I don't even care who's across the crease from him. I'm saying you don't want Casey DeSmith to go up against Pierre-Luc Dubois, Nikolai Ehlers, Kyle Connor. I mean, Blake Wheeler hasn't had a great season, but he's still Blake freaking Wheeler. And Mark Scheifele and all those guys. I mean, even Adam Lowry's probably going to score tonight. He always scores against the Pittsburgh Penguins, so I would imagine Adam Lowry's going to put one in the back of the net if he's healthy. I don't even know.
No, I understand that, too. I think... trying to pull the names up. Yeah, Kyle Connor's got 12 goals already.
Yep.
PLD. Andrew Kopp also.
Oh, yeah.
Name on that team.
Kopp, Ehlers, and Connor are all just there. And it's just like, oh, yeah, you always forget one of those three.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? That's three of their top four point scorers right now.
Yep.
Way to go, because there's Scheifele down there with seven.
Yeah, he had a rough go to start the season.
Yeah. And it's getting loud outside my window. We love to hear it. And I don't know. This is still a good team. How's the defense looking, though? Nate Schmidt's back there with 10 assists.
You know, the defense started off the season really poorly. It looked, there was a lot of clips coming out of Winnipeg where Connor Hellebuck was hung out to dry, which is, you know, nothing new for him. But at the same time, it seems like they're starting to come around a little bit better. But either way, they've dealt with poor defense in the past. I think this is a upgraded defense, albeit not a fantastically upgraded defense. But it is better than it has been in years past, in my opinion.
Well, that's good.
For them.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, Hellebuck being left out to dry is just par for the course up there.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's been a couple of games this season already. I mean, you look at the Calgary game for the Pittsburgh Penguins against Jacob Markstrom. You look at the game just previous to that against Andre Vasilevsky. There have been games this season where the Penguins have just been stifled by a really hot goaltender. Will it happen again on Monday night? I don't know. I think the way the Pittsburgh Penguins have been playing lends itself to some offensive success against this Winnipeg team, mainly because you can take advantage of their defense a little bit if the Penguins can get in on the forecheck like they like to do early in the game. And we mentioned it on Thursday's episode. The Penguins are 0-5-1 this season when they don't score the first goal. They are now 7-1-0 when they score the first goal of the game. So is it that easy? You know what? I like to follow trends, so I think it's going to be that easy. If the Penguins score first today, I think they have a good chance of winning. If they don't score first, they don't. It's oversimplified, but so far this season, that is the trend.
Place your bets on DraftKings.com. Promo code THPN.
Look at you. Definitely. Definitely. Horwat throwing in the DK ad. There we go.
The plug.
Plugging it in there. The only
sign
other
the
game
check.
This week. Huh?
Sign the check.
Sign the check. The only other game this week, during the week, obviously, is the game against the New York Islanders. The Penguins will play their first game at UBS Arena. The Islanders, thus far, are 0-2 at UBS. Their first game was last Saturday night. Or not last Saturday night, I guess. This previous Saturday night against the Calgary Flames. We mentioned they lost 5-2. And then they lost to the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-0 on Sunday as well. They do have a game in between that last one and this matchup with the Penguins on Friday. So we'll see if the Islanders have a win at home by the time they take on the Penguins on Friday night on Black Friday.
They had to have it. They had to have this new stadium.
From what I heard and from the pictures I've seen and from the stats that I've been given, or not stats, but like little facts, it seems like a very nice arena.
I don't like that the roof is still super low.
They wanted to keep that. I mean, you look at some of the pictures, it looks like it's very low and they're going to keep that same atmosphere.
Ugh. Man. All right, I guess. It's,
hey.
That's their choice.
They had input from Lamoriello and Trotz, and I'm sure that was part of it.
They want the head coach getting involved in this?
Because the Islanders actually wanted to make an arena that... Or not the Islanders, but somebody wanted to make an arena for the Islanders that is actually meant for hockey and not basketball.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I just don't like that it's still a low roof. Get with the times, old men. But also, they play old men hockey, so, you know.
Yeah, and they also don't allow their players to grow facial hair.
Oh, boy. And besides, that place will be owned by Billy Joel soon enough.
Soon enough. What you said you got Billy Joel tickets, I saw.
I got Billy Joel tickets.
Look
yes,
you.
I did.
I'm sure that's it. That's very exciting. I love seeing Billy Joel. I think I've seen him twice in concert now.
I've never seen him. Ugh. Never. I need to. That was one of the things I ironically said like a week before those went on sale. Just like, if Billy Joel ever comes back around, I'm dropping a stack. Like, it doesn't matter. And then it was announced like the next week, and I said,
did you drop
God is listening.
Did you drop a whole ass stack?
No.
No.
I went for the
you
cheap
dropped
seats
just enough.
I went for the cheap seats because I looked at it and I said, oh, these are expensive.
Yes. He is a legend.
Not to like
the legend
talk
of
about
Long
concert
Island.
Tickets. Pride of Long Island.
Yeah, I like the legend of Long Island better.
And not to go on a tangent, but I was looking for the same seats I was in for the Green Day show because it was just the R1 row, a wall behind us, and then just like the overhang. Mm. But those were very much expensive, so.
Yeah, that seems like a...
It was like in the suites, which is open during concerts. I did not know that. Ooh. Like the bars behind everything, open during concerts.
Hmm.
So.
Interesting.
Well, next time you go to PNC, get tickets in there.
Noted. Mental note taken right now. But we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit about Evgeny Malkin. We have an update, finally, from head coach Mike Sullivan. We'll discuss that and where he's going to potentially fit in the lineup when he returns right after the break. The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection, however they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with the DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by the Hockey Podcast Network. We're talking about Evgeny Malkin, Gino, big ol' 71. We're still a little far out from his return. He's not getting closer. Well, he is getting closer every day, but he's not dangerously close to a return. He is still not even returned to practice with the Pittsburgh Penguins in a non-contact form, which is expected to be the next step. We just don't know when that's going to be. But we finally do, for the first time since the preseason, have an update on Evgeny Malkin's status, and it's a positive one as well. Last week, Mike Sullivan said that Malkin is making great progress in his rehab. In an article for Pittsburgh Hockey Now by Shelley Anderson, she quoted Sullivan in saying, quote, "We're really encouraged with the progress that he is making. We're excited, and I had an opportunity to see him the other day and was really encouraged with his strength on the ice and how he's progressed." So, with that being said, Horwat, the Penguins right now, for the first time basically all season these past couple of games, have had a fully healthy lineup minus Evgeny Malkin. And we've seen them start to win hockey games. We've seen them over the last seven periods play much, much better. Now you get this Evgeny Malkin news. It's trending upward for the Pittsburgh Penguins, no?
Definitely trending upwards. You go two straight shutout victories, a good second half of a Buffalo game that you lost, but a good second half. Like I said, two shutouts. You go into Winnipeg. Hopefully you have a good game there. You go into the Thanksgiving break. You have a nice little dinner. And things look to be trending upwards because Malkin also gets himself closer and closer. He is the only one missing now. Mm-hmm. Everyone's cleared COVID protocol. Everyone's returned from their injuries and off-season surgery in Crosby's case. Everyone is back. This is what our lineup should be looking like. Brian Boyle is already out of it.
Yeah.
Didn't see that one coming, but here we are. Kind of don't hate it, I guess.
I don't mind Simone being in there instead of Boyle because, I mean, you see what you needed in those games where you're getting fubbed by the Senators and the Capitals. You needed more Simone than you needed Boyle.
Yeah, not that Brian Boyle is a bad player for us this year either. No. It's just his center spot's gonna just be flip-flopped, I think. I mean, I don't know. I'm not the coaching staff. I'm not part of it. I don't know what their decision making is behind old man Brian Boyle, locker room glue Brian Boyle. Mm-hmm. But for now, he's out of the lineup for Dom Simone, to the chagrin of everybody. Mm-hmm. But hey, again, clearly it worked. He's only been gone for two games, right?
Yes. I don't know if he played in the Buffalo game or not. I can't remember.
I don't remember either. But as of my knowledge, and as of this recording, two games without Brian Boyle, two shutout victories. We have found the key to victory, apparently. Sadly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, once Evgeny Malkin slides back into this lineup, I think that was the real answer. Like, yeah, Brian Boyle wouldn't be in the lineup there. Because you're slotting in Crosby at one, Boyle at... Malkin at 2, Carter 3, Bluger 4.
Mm-hmm.
And all is right in the world again. But I don't mind what we have now. As long as things are going well, we're trending upwards, like you said, and Malkin's coming back.
Yeah, time has kind of erased a little bit of what we saw from Evgeny Malkin last year, but with no knee, he was the best player for the Pittsburgh Penguins in the playoffs. And I understand that, you know, coming off a knee injury, he's not going to be great right off the bat, but there is a chance that he comes back and he is that player that we saw in the postseason last year.
If all these Penguins returning has taught us anything, it's that no one's going to be good right off the bat this year.
No.
Just no. Tell it like it is. No one's going to be good straight away. Mm-hmm. It's going to take some time to grow into. It's going to be some growing pains. But, I mean, Malkin is a different beast most of the time.
Yeah.
I think this is the first time we've had a real Evgeny Malkin discussion in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You said he looked like the best player on the ice with one friggin' knee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe that was just a hunger thing. I don't know what the rest of the team... I mean, the team looked fine. Tell me it is, too.
We don't need to rehash that entire playoff series, but the Pittsburgh right. Penguins outplayed the Islanders and just couldn't win games because they had bad goaltending.
Yeah. But that's turned it around.
Well, yeah.
So now let's get a hungry Malkin flying back into this roster. Mm-hmm. Fully healthy knee. Two knees. Maybe one and a half. We don't know what's going on with that other one forever now.
Yeah.
One and a half knees. One and a half elbows?
Yeah.
Is that his other issue?
I guess, yeah.
Let's see what we get out of a 75% of an Evgeny Malkin these days.
On a contract year. Let's not forget about that. His contract is up after the season. I mean, we don't need to get into that because that is definitely not an issue for right now. Let's wait till he gets back and see how he plays before we even bring that up in actuality. But
pulling up cap friendly is a down the road situation.
Just don't do it.
Guys.
Yeah, just don't even pull up cap friendly at this point. I don't want to look at it anymore. We're in season. I know we're cap compliant. So until we make a trade or we're needing to make a trade and there's serious rumors, I will not look at cap friendly.
Yeah, which a trade is just a whole other conversation to have for another day, but man, this team looks good right now.
Yeah.
I always feel weird about trades. Like, you know they have to happen. You know they're going to happen.
Yeah, but But Ron Hextall has not made a lot of moves. I mean, especially in season.
Yeah, yeah. You take a glance at our roster, and you're like, who do you want to move on from right now? Yeah. Underperformers? We don't have too many at the moment.
And you certainly don't want to trade draft capital.
Yeah, and even if one of your underperformers, say, Jason Zucker, do you really want to trade him right now?
No. I've liked what I've seen from Jason Zucker this season. I know some people haven't, but I've really liked the performance of Jason Zucker. And to be honest, with that, I think we should move over to the second half of this conversation with Evgeny Malkin. I mean, obviously, when you ask where does he slide in at, clearly he's going to be the second-line center, as you mentioned, and he's going to be on the top power play. That's not a question. That's not a debate. Who are his line mates? That's something that we can get into. And let's start with Jason Zucker. He's currently on the second line with Jeff Carter. Do you keep him on the second line when Malkin returns?
See, that's hard. That's hard because...
I don't think you do.
You don't?
No. I the way that he played with Evgeny Malkin last year was not good. I mean, Zucker himself said he had a bad season. And part of that is, and anybody that watched these two play on the same line, it didn't seem like they had any chemistry going. I mean... On the other side of it, yes, Kapanen and Malkin, look at the way that they played together versus the way that Malkin and Zucker played together whenever they were exchanging passes, whenever they were in on the zone together, when they were fighting for the puck together, when they were down low together. It just didn't mesh. And Jason Zucker is a player that right now, if you have him as a bottom six guy, and we've mentioned this, yeah, he might suffer a little bit from taking a back seat when it comes to minutes, but playing him with Jeff Carter and, say, Evan Rodriguez as a third line, I think that's something that if you're the Penguins, you can capitalize in matchups against several different teams if you have that down there as the third line for you in the bottom six.
I don't hate that. It's, in a way, it's kind of turning Jason Zucker into the Phil Kessel stereotype from 2016 where we picked him up to play with Sidney Crosby. Oh, that's not going to work. To play with Evgeny Malkin. Oh, they hate each other. Suddenly, Phil Kessel's on the third line with Nick Bonino and Carl Hagelin, and it's the greatest thing we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that going to happen again with Jason Zucker?
No.
Not exactly. Not exactly. He's not the same sort of player.
No.
But we acquired Jason Zucker because we had a multitude of injuries. We stuck him with Crosby. That worked. Worked out pretty well. For some reason we didn't keep with it, I think just because everyone got healthy and other players worked better.
Mm-hmm.
Then we stuck him with Malkin. Oh, they didn't work well together? Not that they don't like each other, but they didn't work well together? All right. Malkin's out.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Zucker's playing great with Jeff Carter. Hey, we found our third line winger now. Just the way the cookie crumbles in this town, I guess, with these wingers. You can score goals. You're a great player. And it's a big old fat contract to sit down on the third line. But you know what? We've seen it work before, and that, you know, relayed into a championship for us before. That line didn't last a second year as much as we wanted it to.
No.
But it brought us some great moments between Kessel and Malkin for the 2017 run. And hey, those two figured it out. So maybe just sticking Zucker on the third line with Carter is what's best for business and best for the team. Mm-hmm. And who knows what comes of it. I don't know about the idea of Rodriguez down there. I like it. I don't hate it.
I think that's the best spot for him. I think when Malkin comes back, the logical name that comes out of the lineup is Dom Simone.
Yes.
And I don't break up the current fourth line. I don't break up the current first line. And if I'm looking at the second line, Kasperi Kapanen stays with Evgeny Malkin, clearly, because of what we saw. And I would put Danton Heinen with Evgeny Malkin.
Don't hate that. The Pascal Dupuis prototype.
Yeah, no. And when it comes to Jason Zucker, to close that up, the only similarity between him and the only connection between him and Phil Kessel is Alex Galchenyuk, because he was in the middle of that. So, yeah, I don't liken those two together very much. If I do, it's because Alex Galchenyuk was traded for each of them.
If anything, also, it might just turn into they both had a similar trend with this lineup.
Yeah.
Kessel's happened much faster, though.
Yeah, it
Kessel's happened within a year, whereas Zucker's, we kind of had to slow burn this.
Yes, yeah.
And we're realizing what we've got.
So Kasperi Kapanen, I think we're both in agreement that that is probably the easiest decision Mike Sullivan is going to have to make whenever Malkin comes back, is putting him alongside Cappy.
Yes, open and shut case, next.
I mean, the rapport that they had was great. Yeah. So
you have to hope it's still there, though.
Yeah, but still, I mean, even Kapanen's speed game easily complements Malkin's style. And we've seen Kapanen not get off to the greatest of starts. Yes, he had a hat trick in the one game. Yes, he's played well in certain instances, but I feel like, and I don't want to say this because I know people might get on my ass for it, but I feel like the tendency to get lazy on a shift here and a shift there, I think if there's two of them on that line, which Malkin also has that tendency sometimes, if there's two of them on that line, they're not going to be able to do it. Because if you look at who Kapanen's playing with, Jeff Carter seems like he's just consistently playing at the same level the entire game. And then Jason Zucker is the Tasmanian devil. How many Cartoon Network characters can I compare Jason Zucker to this season?
Too many. Yes. Too many already. I don't know. It's... Yeah. Yeah. I think everything you're saying is making sense, too. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the only other question would be, who's on the other wing? And I said Danton Heinen. You said you like that. I mean, why do you think, other than the fact that it's Pascal Dupuis, why do you really like having Danton Heinen have that opportunity?
Because Danton Heinen has also really proved himself this year.
He has. I agree.
We have gotten Boston Danton Heinen like we wanted. Yeah. We haven't gotten Anaheim Heinen. We got the Bruins prototype, who he's not the grimy player that Boston produces, but he's got that weird, interesting depth scoring ability. Mm-hmm. Sure, he may not post more goals just because he's on the second line, but more opportunity usually leads to that. And he just turns into a player that's the bumper and the grinder on that line. Mm-hmm. He's the one that you look at and you figure he's basically the Evan Rodriguez of last season for that Crosby line, where it's what's he doing here, but it's somehow okay for sometimes.
I think it's a little bit more okay for Heinen.
Yeah, but Heinen, you realize, will work out a little more. He's an established NHL name for sure, but I think the fact that he was one of the goal leaders for this team also leads a lot into, hey, this guy can do something. He's able to perform at an NHL level. Now let's stick him with one of the best players, at one point, one of the best players in the league, and see if things continue to trend for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
I think it's a good idea. I also just don't know who else you could put there, because you're not taking Heinen out of the lineup at this point.
No, you're not. I mean, clearly, Simone is the guy that comes out of the lineup. So the question then becomes Zucker, Rodriguez, Heinen alongside Malkin and Kapanen. That's basically the conversation piece. Unless you want to break up that fourth line, then maybe put Brock McGinn up there. But I don't think that Mike Sullivan wants to break that fourth line up. I think he likes that fourth line as much as he liked the Zach Aston-Reese, Teddy Bluger, Brandon Tanev line last season and the year before that. So
what did we do? What did we say the McGinn signing was? Oh, we're just shifting around Tanev into McGinn? Mm-hmm. All right. And guess what? That's exactly what we did.
Yeah. So, I mean, with Danton Heinen, I believe there's more to him than what we've seen so far. I mean, he's had some really, really bright spots this season. I believe there is more to him and there's more to his scoring touch. So I think playing with Malkin could definitely unlock that scoring touch a little bit more. But we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to finish off this episode with our weekly Pens poll. We'll be right back.
Hockey fights, lifestyle, and tales from a first-round draft bust? We have it all and more on the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for boutique hockey content and podcasts covering every team in the NHL.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg Podcast, brought to you as always by the Hockey Podcast Network as well as DraftKings. Make sure you use promo code THPN at the DraftKings Sportsbook app for great odds and opportunities. Once again, promo code THPN at the DraftKings Sportsbook app for great odds and opportunities. So, we will finish off this episode with a Pens poll. You know, Horwat, I should really stop betting on NFL football. You know, I keep saying, telling people to go bet on DraftKings, and you should, because it is the premier sportsbook. But I really need to get better at it, at least with the NFL. I win my bets all week in the NHL. I win my bets in the NBA. Surprisingly, yes, I know I have a very, very limited knowledge, but the NFL just takes all my money every Sunday.
For what it is worth, this past Sunday was a wild day.
The past two Sundays have, I've not gained much. Although I did hit several player props yesterday, which was nice. You know, Aaron Rodgers over 8 yards rushing. That was solid.
Glad you mentioned his name. I was gonna make an immunized Aaron Rodgers joke in there because the Minnesota Vikings finally took home a victory.
They did
via kick.
But yeah, good for them. I'm sure State of Hoppy up there from the Soda Pod is relieved. Although either way, I mean, he's consistent too. He's like, all right, well, if we suck, we suck. If we win, hey, cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but no,
then it was the return of Cam Newton taking an L. Beautiful.
Taking L against the Washington football team, which, you know, my coworkers were quite happy to see that happen.
God.
So
I thought it was just great watching Cam Newton take another L back in Carolina, where he should be taking L's.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the other player props that I hit on yesterday.
Oh yeah, what other player props you got?
I can't remember. I lost basically all the games. I mean, I had the Packers -1. That didn't go well, obviously. You know, I thought, I was like, oh, that's a layup. The Packers are going to win by more than one against the Vikings. Like, come on. And then, you know, you see what happens. Kirk Cousins turns into God Cousins. And now we have to move on to the Pens poll because I'm getting sad thinking about all the money I lost yesterday. But I'll get it back this week. I'll get it back. I always do in the NHL. But our Pens poll, our Pens poll for last week was, with the Penguins' record at 3-5-2 in their last 10 games, what are your expectations at for this season now? You know, this is why I love doing these a week after, because where the Penguins were last week and where they are right now, at least.
When you asked this question.
Yes, exactly. And I love seeing the responses, because most of the responses come in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then a couple sprinkle in Thursday, early Friday morning before it closes on Friday afternoon. But, you know, still, it looks like the majority of our listener base is still high on the pit, or was at least still high on the Penguins last week. I mean, just make the playoffs won this poll with 46%. Missing the playoffs came in second with 28%. So it was one or the other.
What up, Troll and Polly?
Exactly. Well, it had to be more than that. We had a lot of votes on this one. Decent playoff run had 16% of the vote, and still a cup contender. If you voted on this, which I did not, I don't know if you did. I don't think you did. Knowing you, I don't think you voted on this. But the 10% of you, which might be 6 or 7 people that said still a cup contender, please DM us at Iceberg Podcast. I want to know how you are so positive, and I need a little bit of that positivity in my life. So obviously, you know, I'm positive, but that is insane positivity right there, thinking they're a cup contender right now. Horwat, what did you have for this poll?
I do still love the positivity out of those people, though, to be
fair. It's
great. And I'm trying to find the poll. There we go. I have decent playoff run in my selection, because I am still positive in this team.
Hmm.
I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid like a cup contender, but I do still believe in this team. We're still missing Malkin. Who knows what he comes back to be?
Mm-hmm.
You all just heard our conversation, I hope.
Yeah, I don't know. If you skip straight through to the Pens poll, I mean, cool, but weird.
Yeah, we still have a good chance. Like I said, if this team can be come something with Malkin on the line, if they can become stronger, if we can keep dominating Canadian teams the way we're doing, minus Ottawa. We ignore that game.
Yes.
But here's the mention again. Hey, we have beaten the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are supposed to be one of the best teams in the league, a combined 9-2.
Ayo.
9-1.
9-1, yeah. Yeah,
a combined 9-1. So it's lovely. Let's keep beating the good teams like that. Let's start beating the bad teams now. I think we can make a nice little run out of this. And I'm trying to read some of the replies here. Richard Blosser with the meh. Hey, that's very fair for how we were looking at the time of this question being asked.
Yeah. Meh is actually positive from last Monday.
Yeah.
Coming off of those two losses against the Senators and the Capitals, having somebody say meh was that's leaning on the positive side from Richard.
Yeah, that really is. Yeah. The miss the playoffs people are hilarious. Thank you. Was that Pit of Hoppy? What is his name now?
It changes yeah, quite often.
But yeah, no, we had 69 votes on this. Hold on. That is nice. And we get back to the miss the playoff people. Yeah, that came in second, and they're hilarious people, apparently. Let's discuss that.
The Penguins, I don't believe. Listen, I understand the thought process, especially last Monday. You know, I'm not going to get too hard on them because you're thinking, what have you done for me lately? You see this poll, and you're like, wow, they've sucked. They're in a tough division. You know, they're healthy. Healthy. They had one game of health. And still dealing with the effects of COVID. I mean, the latter stages effects, even though after they're no longer infected with it, but still dealing with the effects of it. But the missed the playoffs, folks, I don't agree with that. My vote was just make the playoffs. I was in that large majority because, you know, I'd like to say they're going to have a decent playoff run. I mean, what we saw last year, if they play the way they did and get a little bit better goaltending, yeah, they would have gone on a decent playoff run. But at the same time, I've said it the past 2 years, or at least last year, all year I said it, I'm not going to give them any credit or believe that they're going to go far in the playoffs until I see it in the first round. I'm basically a Toronto Maple Leafs fan at this point. I need to see it in the first round before I start giving it any latitude, before I start giving it any large portion of my vocalization that they're going to make a deep playoff run. So I think they're going to make the playoffs. That's why I voted just make playoffs, but again, I can't say that these guys are going to have a deep playoff run because I just don't know what I'm going to see once the calendar flips and we see the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs.
Yeah, but also, to be fair, what was the Penguins' issue in the playoffs last year?
Goaltending.
Because we were outplaying the Islanders.
Yeah.
If Tristan Jarry can keep this shit up all year, we are about it.
Yeah, we are, obviously, but at the same time, it's... You know, it'd be nice if Tristan Jarry just didn't allow a goal the rest of the season. But, you know, he's going to have another downturn and there's going to be, you know, all of his detractors coming out and saying, I told you, trash can Jarry, which there's one guy that tweets that on basically any time we put up Tristan Jarry. And listen, I like your devotion to your sport of dissing on the Penguins goaltender. But, you know. One bad game after two shutouts. If you post it after tonight's game against Winnipeg, if he has a bad game, I will clearly just look at you and be like, really?
Listen, we know this. Penguin fans are never happy with the goaltending. Never. Doesn't matter who it is. It's always, it should have been the person before. It's always, it should be someone else.
You know, Tom Barrasso would have saved that.
No, Ken Reggett would have.
Kenny Reggett. Yeah, Kenny Reggett would have saved that. You know, Jim Rutherford would have saved that.
We're taking it all the way back. All right. Dennis Heron.
I don't know.
Denny Heron. I don't even know how to say his name.
Denny Lemieux would have saved that.
You know what? Just give me Jean-Claude Van Damme in overtime against the Hawks. And we're good.
Hey, it is what it is. But unless you have anything else, I mean, we got a game coming up tonight. I will be, I think I'm going to be doing a watch along. I have to finish up the everything, so I might be doing a watch along for that. So if you want to tune into that, I'll be on the Hockey Podcast Network YouTube channel. And
how does he move doing an 8:30 watch along?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you looked like you just realized that it was an 8:30.
No, because I said that earlier in the show. Like, I know it's an 8:30 start, but like the last time I did it, I was also I worked for 10 hours and then I came home and did it immediately after. So I was like, this can't be any worse. Started at 8:30. I'm off. today, other than, you know, I got podcast duty all day today, which I absolutely love my Mondays because that's what it's basically turned into.
Love it.
So, yeah, no, definitely tune in if you have that. Or what, any last words before we say goodbye for the first time this week?
No, if you're doing a watch-along, I probably won't be able to catch any of it. I will be rocking the box office at Stage E for the last show of November. Yeah, I think so. Hmm. So there you go. I will be busy tonight, so have fun tonight.
Yeah, just drop a like on it. That'd be, even if you don't watch it, tune in, drop a like.
Depending on what time I get home, maybe I'll catch the end of it.
There you go.
Since it is an 8:30 game.
It's an 8:30 game. It'll end at 11:30 Eastern time and then have the post-game midnight. You know what? Yeah, it's going to be a late night. Join me my late Monday night. Don't watch that crappy Monday night football game between the Bucks and the Giants. Tune into my watch along.
It's a shame you don't drink coffee. You could really use some tonight.
I probably could, but that's going to do it for this episode of The Tip of the Iceberg. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you guys on Thursday. Have a good one, Pens fans. You can follow us on Twitter at NickHorwat41 and at Nick_Berlansky. You can also follow the show's Twitter handle at Iceberg Podcast. This podcast can be found anywhere you get your podcasts from, so please subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts. We are brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. You can visit them on Twitter at HockeyPodNet or at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Every team, everywhere.